The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hey, Pat and Stu, welcome. And, the lovely and large Jeffy.
You suck.
Wow, I don't know why the crowd just dislikes you so much, Jeffy. That was weird.
Yeah. Now, they're outside the building. They just are really loud enough to be heard through the walls. So,
84,000 people are outside right now chanting. Mm-hmm. How Jeffy sucks. Mm-hmm. 84,000.
It's a lot. It's a small crowd for this.
Yeah, usually by Monday, we built up so much steam and hatred for Jeffy that there's like 184,000 out there. But mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a light crowd today.
It's been rainy today.
It's summer.
So.
You know, rain, that's true.
Rain.
By the way, today is our first day of 1 hour Pat and Stew, which is, very saddening. And we know we have to wean you off a little bit. So today, Pat and I will be filling in for Glenn on TV, so you'll actually get a second hour anyway of Pat and
Stu.
Yay! For you! Congratulations for your achievements. So there's a lot to talk about with the Charlottesville thing.
Yeah.
Plenty to get us through probably multiple two-hour shows today. It really is a bizarre one, and the treatment of it is interesting. I've kind of gone away from... I try not to go crazy on social networks at all on the weekends in particular because I want to have some life that's not constant tweeting and Facebooking. And it's interesting in that I still have to keep up with the news, and you obviously can get plenty of news through Twitter. So occasionally I'll check in on it to read it, but I'm not that active tweeting. And it gives you, I think, an advantage to kind of look at these things from an outside perspective instead of trying to jump into them as they're happening. Watching the way this story was covered was really strange. You had the initial outburst of rioting and fighting and back and forth the night before. Then this terrible incident where this nut job rides his Dodge Challenger into the middle of a crowd and tries to kill people. How only one person died out of that incident, at least so far, it's an absolute miracle. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see him, he's 10 feet away from 50 people with a car moving at 45 miles an hour, and somehow he only kills one person. I mean, it's a terrible tragedy as to what he did. Then he, by the way, backed it up, threw it in reverse, and went over and tried to go over more people. And luckily, most people were able to get out of the way. I mean, it's a miracle that only one person died, to be perfectly honest. Did you watch the videos, Pat? Did you see them?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was absolutely terrifying. To watch that happen.
Yep.
And then it's amazing how quickly that turns into what Donald Trump said as the only story. I mean, look, I don't like Donald Trump. I don't think he's a good president. I don't think he particularly handled that moment well, but it wasn't the worst thing in the world. He essentially said he wanted to... he essentially denounced more violence than the violence in that incident. Right? He said, you know what? This is really bad, and all violence is bad. Now, it's like, I get that he didn't need to throw that in, but I mean, I think he felt that he had to because he wanted people to be aware that it's not just on the quote-unquote right, which is a You know, something I don't.
Which none of it's from the right.
None of it's from the right. I mean, none of it is from the right.
I mean, neo-Nazis are not right. They're not right-wing. They're not small government conservatives. They're not. So I don't know why we allow the media to pretend that they are. Because they're not.
No, I push back about. I mean, we push back about it, about it all the time.
Yeah.
But we're, you know, to be fair to the media and people on the left, I mean, we did elect the guy, the chief advisor to the president of the United States is the guy who created the platform for the alt-right. So it's not a huge stretch. I mean, look, the Republican president hired a guy as his chief advisor who basically gave voice to these people. So it's not as crazy as a stretch as I would like it to be, to be frank. I can understand how they get there. Although it makes no sense with the policy aims. I mean, you know, a community, you're talking about a group of people who would like to forcibly separate races and force people to live in one part of the country and force other people to live in another part of the country for racial separation. You need a big government to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So someone who's advocating for small government conservatism / libertarianism really can't get involved in that sort of activity. It's not something that's possible under the construct of the government that we want. So it's really infuriating to me to see these people associated with my viewpoints in any way. Of course you denounce them. Of course you do. But it is it becomes so quickly about obsession with the president of the United States. And it's a problem on both sides of that equation. The media is obsessed with Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is obsessed with Donald Trump. And those things just, both sides, to me, end in bad outcomes there. You know, I mean, you got to believe that. I mean, don't you get 48 hours to care about the victims, to, you know, to just think about how awful this is rather than going immediately to politics and blaming Donald Trump for it? I mean, you don't even get that. You don't even get that window anymore.
No. No, but here's is this. Do we have what the Trump announcement is? His statement. What do we have here?
Okay, so this is. Here it is. Yeah.
This is the actual video of the event. This is really disturbing. Just know that going in. Hmm.
I mean, that is incredible. The stuff we see now because of camera phones.
Yeah, that's a different footage than the original.
There's several of these, yeah. And there's one right next to it. Almost.
Right, that was the first one that lit up. It was amazing.
That one's really, that one gives you a much better sense of seemingly the intent of him to hit other people when backing up.
Yeah.
Because the other view is right by the incident, so you kind of see him, it looks almost like he's trying to escape there. I think you get a good sense of how fast he was going. Seemingly with the intent of running more people over, right? Like if someone comes behind him, you know, they all had to run out to the side streets. I mean, incredibly horrible. And, you know, obviously, like this is one of those protests that both sides of the protest, as far as the points that they are making, are not aligned with me. Neither side is. I mean, it's certainly not neo-Nazis. And honestly, the other side of it, too. I mean, they are trying to associate neo-Nazis with every person who's a Republican. They are trying many of these groups are the same groups that were attacking our police officers for shooting black people all the time, which they are not doing statistically. You can see that very easily in the numbers. I don't like the viewpoints of either of these organizations. You see the same way that you saw in Dallas. What was it last year where, someone associated with the Black Lives Matter movement tried to start targeting police officers? A Bernie Sanders supporter tries to target GOP congressmen. And you see it here with quote unquote the right, where they're trying to kill protesters. I mean, these are unbelievably horrible incidents, Pat, but also put yourself in the mindset of a neo-Nazi. Put yourself in the mindset of a Bernie Sanders supporter. These things don't help your movement either. Like, this is not going to help the alt-right. This is not going to, you're going to want, because of, I think, honestly, the statement that Donald Trump put out, which was criticized, I bet you're going to see a really big push in a law and order sense from Trump on this as a reaction to that. Because, I mean, we all know that he's motivated by media reaction. As a reaction, I would not be surprised at all to see him really come out and crack down on this type of stuff to whatever extent he can get away with. And, you know, this does not help your movement at all.
No.
It's just, you know, really targeting innocent people who have really nothing to do with anything as far as criminal action against your group. It doesn't even work. Not only is it completely morally reprehensible, it doesn't even work. Yet it still seems to happen by individuals in these movements. And it is important to assign responsibility to the individual.
And somehow there's a group called Moms Demand Action.
Oh, yeah.
Founder is Shannon Watts. Never heard of her. She took to Twitter to vilify the NRA and gun laws in Virginia as being behind the violence in Charlottesville. It was a motor vehicle. I'm not sure if you're aware of what a gun looks like compared to what a motor vehicle looks like.
What is a motor vehicle other than a gun with wheels?
No, it's really not. It's really not.
I don't know.
It's something that takes you from point A to point B.
Well, think about it. What other purpose does a motor vehicle have other than to kill?
Well, to drive people around.
How many people die every year? You brought this point up, Pat.
Yeah.
When you're trying to defend your precious guns.
55,000.
You say that cars kill more people.
They do.
Well, maybe we should be thinking about
banning cars.
And you know what? Mm. I don't know if you noticed this. It would be very helpful with our environment as well.
But let's say all of that is true. It still has nothing to do with the NRA. Okay?
Pardon me?
The NRA
pardon
is not...
me.
Has nothing to do with...
So no one in the NRA, Jeffy, has cars. That's an interesting news. Breaking news.
That sure is.
Breaking news. By the way, Shannon Watts is from this ridiculous anti-gun group that you mentioned.
Yeah. Moms Demand Action.
Has gone back and forth with Dana many times. She's not won those battles.
That's the one?
Yeah, she's not won those battles.
Wow, she looks crazy. Just looking at her. Try to look at her eyes without making your eyes go cross-eyed.
I don't know. Okay, I don't know why that...
All right.
I don't know if that was particularly needed, but it was done.
I think it was. So. I think it was needed. Needed and necessary.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll know that eventually. Right?
She scared me.
You're just being honest.
Under Virginia law, open carry is allowed with or without a concealed handgun permit, if you can believe that. Most federal buildings, airports, K through 12 schools, universities, and religious institutions prohibit. They're what we like to call gun-free zones, where that's where the killers come and kill people, because they are gun-free zones. So
it's a lot easier. I mean, here's a good example.
When you know you're not going to be opposed by anybody.
This is, in a way, a microcosm of this point, this car situation. It's a lot easier to kill a lot of people in a car-free zone than it is a car zone where there's cars. Right.
Yeah.
Like, you notice that this incident was stopped with a car. He hit a car.
Right.
This is the issue that happened in was it Paris or Belgium when this happened with the truck going down the... When you close the streets off and there's no cars, these guys have free reign to run over as many people as they can.
Yeah, was that the Marseille?
That was in France.
That was in France. We've seen so many of these overseas with ISIS members that, you know, you can understand Glenn's initial inclination to think, oh, gosh, this is an ISIS tactic. Which, again, when your movement is associating itself with ISIS, maybe you should rethink your movement. You know, if you're in the alt-right today and you're like, hey, I'm glad to see that they're using those ISIS tactics to further my viewpoints, maybe you should reconsider the viewpoint.
I think that's a pretty good safety tip, actually. I love this tweet from actress Alyssa Milano, too. She should just be quiet. You know,
Alyssa's been.
Just don't say anything.
Oh, why? Is that because she's a woman, Pat?
Yep.
No, it's because she's a moron, Stu.
She's been
a... She's got 3 million followers, though, so that's great. And she went into apparently some sort of department store and saw Christmas elves arranged in the department store with Nazi salutes. Apparently they maneuvered the little elfin arms into a Sieg Heil kind of salute. And so she tweets out, just walked into a Christmas store in New York and someone arranged all the elf arms in Nazi salutes. I'm sick to my stomach. Fire Bannon. Hashtag Fire Bannon.
What?
What the hell does that have to do with the Nazi elves?
I forgive her. The picture just popped up.
I don't know that she looks just that way anymore, but...
Yeah, she does.
I mean, there's no question she's attractive. But, wow, is that stupid. First of all, somebody would have done that just as a joke, I'm sure. Doesn't seem like a real big political statement to me. And I don't know how she works Steve Bannon into the whole thing.
Well, Steve Bannon probably did it. It's probably him.
Yeah. She's been so vocal anti-Trump that anything that she can tie to that.
Well,
she,
that was like the
ridiculous
Sarah Silverman.
Yes.
And again, the collection of dumb people on the left who see this everywhere is not minuscule. But Sarah Silverman did the same thing where she saw swastikas painted on the ground, but they were just surveying marks.
Oh, yeah.
It was not,
right.
It was not a swastika. I don't know. Again, what are they supposed to do? This is not, they're trying hard. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, you can't expect a lot here.
They need to stop trying.
They probably should, but
they should.
That would really be smarter.
Yes, it
would be a better idea. But mm-hmm. I mean, again, what do you expect? It's like with Trump. Everyone's like, "Oh, well, how come he didn't give the perfectly worded statement after this?" Oh, because he can't speak the language? Could it be that? I mean, the guy has trouble getting through any sentence. The idea that he's going to come out in a moment of crisis and say the right thing perfectly is not. It's a little too much to expect from the president of the United States. I hate to break this to you. You're not going to get the great moment of uniting discourse from the president in moments of crisis. That is not what he does. That is not his gig. That's not that he's not good at that job. You could argue maybe he shouldn't have it for that reason, but he has it. So get used to it. You're not going to get those moments from this president ever. That's not what he does.
Wow, that's pretty controversial.
Last week you're working for him. This week you're mm-hmm. bashing him.
Yeah.
What happened?
Wow.
What happened?
Being honest, Jeffy. That's what happened.
Oh, he fired this weekend.
He fired me. He did fire me as a consultant.
All right. Well, it's easy to get caught up in all this stuff. And sometimes we forget that the principles our nation was founded on still apply. Things like self-reliance, being able to, provide for yourself and your family.
You're talking about those alt-right principles? Self-reliance, being able to provide for your family,
not
depending on the government.
Not
because
all, right.
I don't know if you noticed this, in Nazi Germany, they depended on their government for an awful lot of things.
Yeah.
So you would think that self-reliance would be incongruent with this particular philosophy. But that's maybe a point to be made at another time. We both depend on My Patriot Supply. Why? Because My Patriot Supply makes self-reliance easy. No one ever said you had to go out and till your own soil and I don't know, huck your own corn, or what do you do with the corn?
Husk.
Shuck.
Shuck or huck or shusk or husk your own corn. See, I don't even know what the word is. How could I do it? The point is, My Patriot Supply does it for you. They send it to you. It tastes really good. And you've taken care of all of your responsibilities as a parent, as a husband, as a family
mm-hmm.
member,
mm-hmm.
To help your own your own household get through an incident like this. But it's not a lot of work. Which is kind of nice.
And it's 102 servings of survival food right now for just $99. It's shipped to your house for free. So they don't even drop it off down the street from you. They'll get it right to your house. They're pretty good.
Bring it in and throw it in a closet. And then when you need it, it's right there. The good thing, too, is they do not check to see if you're using it for yourself. So if you have four family members, or you have family of three, you can just make that. The time would be a little bit shorter, but you can get through a bunch of tragedies that well, or whatever mm-hmm. needs you might have. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, including their popular creamy chicken rice.
Ooh.
It lasts up to 25 years in storage, and it's less than a dollar per serving.
Just call them today and check this off your list. 888-411-5290. 888-411-5290. Or go to preparewiththeblaze.com. That's preparewiththeblaze.com.
Can we start with cool video, Pat?
I don't see why not.
From California, they have
a show.
More, oh, yeah, that's right. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah.
Can we do whatever we want when we fill in for Glenn today on the Think Tank?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to be speaking in mm-hmm. Swahili tonight on Think Tank with Pat and Stu. And mm-hmm. by the way, Jeffy, do you want to come in and sit in the room with us in the Think Tank?
I get a pity offer?
No, I was just asking if you wanted to be there. I'm not offering. I was just curious to see if you wanted to be there or not. You're not welcome.
I live.
Now you're going to definitely
be with Think Tank.
All right, so that's coming up tonight, 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Blaze. Here's some cool video. We won't have time for this on the Think Tank tonight, but I just saw this, and I thought it was amazing. They're fighting all these fires in Texas. California.
Global warming.
Well, exactly.
Thank you.
They didn't have fire until about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
When fire began.
When man discovered fire, it was because of an SUV.
Right.
The first fire was set by an SUV. And
it's our SUVs that are causing fire.
By the way, Al, what's an update on your movie? How's it going so far?
It's going great, Stu. Thank you for asking. Mm-hmm. With the exception of the theater operators that are generally burying my movie.
They're burying your movie?
They're burying my movie. And not showing it on the good screen.
And don't forget Paramount for not releasing the sequel
at the right time.
At the right time, all together, bunch of theaters, all of it.
Right.
It's all somebody else's fault.
Of course. It's none of it is the bull crap that's contained inside the movie.
Right.
None of it is the fact that we're pretty, you know, while most Americans may or may not agree that the temperature's warmed slightly. And most probably agree that. Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah.
We disagree on the cause and the severity and how to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't care about your stupid movie. Because we know it's a pile of trash. We know it's alarmist nonsense. So.
Yeah. And by the way, there's probably an interesting story to this at some point. As to why the timing of the movie release is very strange. Why would you? Why in 2017? This should have been released in September 2016, before the election. It could have been a real scare tactic. It would have been a big story. Everyone would have been talking about it. It would have been like, is it Hillary or is it Trump? Mm-hmm. The interesting thing here is that they all thought Hillary was going to win. So this would have come out with Hillary as president, which would have been such a strange thing.
Yeah.
And here, even with Trump as president, nobody cares about it. So it just shows how little impact Al Gore has.
It's made $2 million in 17 days.
It's really bad. Now, it hasn't been wide released that whole time. But still, it's not going to make a lot of money. Last time, it really was a cultural phenomenon. I mean, if you look back, it's the number two documentary of all time. I want to say Fahrenheit 9/11 was bigger than it. But other than that, it may be the number two political documentary of all time.
Mm-hmm.
We can find that list out. I can look it up here in a minute.
Plus, he won the Academy Award.
Yep.
I mean, he was getting all kinds of accolades. Now nobody's even paying attention. Nobody's talking about this. We were going to kind of make it a big deal and invite people to, you know, rent a theater and have listeners come. But it's just not a big enough deal to mess with it. I don't want to call attention to it necessarily. On the radio to get anybody interested in seeing it.
No.
It's great that it's bombing like it is.
It is. Yeah, it really is. Here is we talked about the fires going on in California. Obviously, they have to fight these fires. Rarely do you see how they do it. And this is just cool video that I saw this weekend of a pilot having to do the tough work of actually fighting these fires from above.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this thing. It's incredible.
Oh my gosh.
Can you imagine that flight?
I did not expect that.
That was impressive.
Whoa.
I mean, that is like a big airliner, too. I mean, that is
it's really scary. Have you ever been out there when there's been fires around? One time we were out there staying at Bear Lake, and, you know, just on the just over the horizon on another little mountaintop, blazing fire. I mean, it looks like it's going to just jump across the sky and get to you. It's frightening. And it'd be, I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, it's really scary.
It really is. It's kind of a weird, this stuff just goes on.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's so common and natural now in California that, like,
The people that are there are like, it's over there. It's over there.
You see how close they are to the, they're all like looking at the flight. The entire mountain's on fire. you're at the base of it. Look at that. I mean, that.
Oh my gosh.
Imagine.
It's really something.
I did not expect that.
That was impressive.
Why'd they use such a big plane, I wonder? Usually they're like little crop dusters that do that stuff.
So much, I guess.
Wow.
Let's see. Top documentaries of all time.
Yeah, he's down to 11.
Yeah, he's down to 11th now. Wow. Gosh, I didn't realize how poorly that actually did in the theaters. So number one, Fahrenheit 9/11 made $119 million. Then March of the Penguins, 77. Justin Bieber, Never Say Never, at 73. Michael Jackson's This Is It, 72. 2016, Obama's America. Remember that from Dinesh D'Souza? Yeah.
Yes. Okay, I was wondering where Dinesh's was.
Yeah, 33 million. Then
is that all that made?
Yeah. Earth 2009 was 32 million. Chimpanzee in 28 million. One Direction, This Is Us, who knew, 28 million. I knew I was out of touch with popular culture, by the way, at this moment when I saw Dunkirk. And
yeah,
the question,
and that guy's in it
like,
from One Direction.
How is Harry Styles or Henry Styles from One Direction? Who? I had no idea they were in the movie. I still to this moment do not know which person in the movie
I
they
don't
were.
Either. My 17-year-old was asking me about it. Wasn't Harry Styles good in that? Who's Harry Styles? Right.
You know, the white
direction.
Guy.
Yeah, the white guy with the dark hair, like every other person in that movie. And that was actually, I was joking with people, like, am I a racist? Because I could not tell them apart. I watched that movie. Now, if I said this about any other race, it would be obviously huge problem and controversy. Mm-hmm. But it was just a flood of English white people, and I kept losing track of the story because all the English white people look like English white people.
You bastard.
I know. number 9, Katy Perry, This Is Me. Number 10, Sicko from Michael Moore. And then number 11, An Inconvenient Truth, $24 million. So, I mean,
so
I don't think it's
made $24 million the first time.
That's terrible.
They said at the same point with the first time around, it had made $5 million, and it's only made $2 million this time. So, I mean, it's way off track, but it's making less than half of it. It's about, 60% less. Yeah. But still, the first one didn't make that much.
I will say, I think the lesson here is that Al Gore is actually much more of a zilch than we realized.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't been successful in either one of these movies. I thought it was just this one bombing. In reality, the first one also bombed. But he got the award, right? That's,
yes.
And I'll probably get it again, right?
He got the award and he got the gigantic launch, right, of the movie the first one time around, where it was the wide open and everybody, the big talk up.
Well,
it's
still,
thing.
This says, now, I mean, I'm looking at Box Office Mojo, my source for box office numbers. And An Inconvenient Truth at 11th says it was only in 587 theaters.
Wow.
Which is, again, you know, like...
I think this one's a similar release.
Fahrenheit 9/11, it was in 2000. March of the Penguins, 2,500. Justin Bieber, 3,000. Michael Jackson's This Is It, 3,481 in 2009. Obama's America, the Dinesh D'Souza movie, was 2,000 theaters, almost four times the amount of theaters that An Inconvenient Truth came out.
Wow.
Which is really incredible when you think about it.
And I mean, Dinesh has a new one, right? Coming out. We just talked to him about that last week, but I've already forgotten the name of it.
Lies.
Lies.
He's got a book coming out called The Big Lie. I just don't know if he's making a documentary out of it.
Okay. Maybe it was just the book, and I'm conflating the two. I'm not sure. All right. Well, 888-727 Beck. This is kind of fun, too. The L.A. street artist, you know, Sabo, that does a lot of good right-wing propaganda rather than having to see the stuff from the left all the time. He has mocked the Google escapade last week where they fired the guy for speaking his mind. So he did this graffiti, "Think different, get fired." It's pretty good. Do we have the images there? Can we take a look? Let's think different. Not so much.
With the Google CEO. Google workers must think one way. The sign.
Oh, that's really good.
Pretty clever.
That's good.
As soon as I saw these, I knew it had to be.
And is that right outside Google? Yeah. Is it think different, get hired at Apple. Think different, get fired at Google.
Mm, really, that's good. Really, really, really good.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, and that's a pretty smart. Did you see that? I always get the name wrong, but I think it's David Brooks, right? The New York Times conservative columnist.
Yeah.
Who can see, where he lives, he can see the E at the end of conservative is about how close he is to conservative.
Yes.
But he, you know, occasionally does some interesting stuff. I was surprised because he's known for taking the left side of battles between the left and the right. As a conservative, he takes the left side. And then the other thing is, if anything, he's very measured, right? If he takes a conservative viewpoint, he's very measured and it is not passionate. He called for the CEO to resign of Google over this.
You got to be kidding.
He wrote an entire column, the CEO of Google should resign over this. Which I don't even think we called for. I mean, we mocked them for it. I mean, but we didn't say the guy should resign. He actually said they should resign.
Because he fired the guy.
Because he fired the guy. And Yeah, which I thought was pretty amazing.
Wow, that is surprising.
I mean, and it's obviously true. What they did there is embarrassing to free speech, to culture of any company.
It is.
They did a terrible job with that. But I was surprised to see that. And I got to say, with the size of that company, him resigning seems a tad unlikely. But
it does
happen. I mean, they made the Uber guy resign. I mean, they do occasionally do.
Although he claims he's just off doing Steve Jobs stuff. Like he's starting other companies and I'm just taking a break and I'm letting my company falter and then I'll come back in and save it at a later date. Uh-huh.
This is the problem with and this is sort of separate, but like the companies with like Uber, who start the way Uber did, which is like basically saying, "Hey, you know what? Screw you. We're doing it."
Yeah.
You know, at some point, the company becomes too big that they don't allow that anymore. They don't allow that attitude anymore.
Right.
The attitude that made you successful
exactly
is no longer welcome.
Exactly right.
And that does occur. 888-727 Beck is the number. Take a quick break and come back with more in just a second. So I got a long day of meetings ahead of me. In fact, I've got to fill in for a 5 p.m. TV show today. How do you get through that day? Well, Brickhouse Nutrition has a great product. It's called Dawn to Dusk, and I use it. It's really cool. It's a physician-formulated extended-release energy supplement, which lasts up to 10 hours. It increases your energy, it improves mood, and stimulates your brain, all without the ridiculous jitters. Because you can get the jitters from some of these things. I mean, you know, that is an important thing to avoid, because honestly, the jitters are a non-starter for me. But the issue is, you've got long nights with your family, you wake up early, you work hard. How do you get through the end of that day and still be productive and focused? Dawn to Dusk is a great way to do that from Brickhouse Nutrition. You might be down in 7 cups of coffee a day, all the money you're spending at Starbucks. You want to have something that's really going to give you a boost and increase your focus. This is for you. You're going to get 15% off a one-month supply with the offer code STEW at checkout when you go to BrickHouseStew.com. BrickHouseStew.com. Check it out. BrickHouseStew.com.
This is kind of fun. Alex Jones, right-wing conspiracy. He's not right-wing.
No.
Can we get that straight? He's not right-wing.
And these are our friends at this website known as The Blaze.
Yes.
Can we tell
people at The Blaze, Alex Jones is not a right-wing guy.
And look,
he's
I get
not.
That, it, again, it's the same thing with the alt-right. And it's
yes.
the same thing. It's very well understood. It's people summarize it that way. And I understand why. We had a much better argument before Donald Trump was president on this point.
Mm-hmm.
However, I will say that, you know, this is a man who is famous for blaming George Bush for knocking down the trade towers.
It's crazy to call him right-wing.
A point, by the way, at the time, that 50% of Democrats agreed with,
mm-hmm.
believed that mm-hmm. that George Bush was responsible for 9/11.
Yes.
So this is his the reason you know who Alex Jones is because he blamed a Republican president for the 9/11 tragedy. So to call him right wing to me is just, I hate it.
Yeah, I do too. But this is exciting news. He's launching a new website, News Wars, which is aimed at exposing fake news. So every day he's going to feature InfoWars on News Wars. It should be really good. That should be because all the fake news that he puts out there,
right.
he's going to feature right here on his other news site.
Is this like a little drudge?
Brilliant.
It looks like almost like a drudge.
Doesn't
situation.
It, though? That does look
apparently a rift growing between the Bannon and Drudge. There's a split there.
Yeah, apparently there's a rift between Trump and Bannon.
And
Trump thinks that the leaks now are coming from Steve Bannon. And he wants to fire him, but he's nervous about doing that because he's got huge money supporters.
And he also might lose the base.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I think in a battle between, I think Oliver Darcy pointed this out on the Twitters. In a battle between Drudge and Bannon, I think the right-wing media landscape largely sides with Drudge, don't you think?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
I mean, over Bannon. I mean, Bannon is just, he's only a figure because he's with the president. Like, I mean, people barely knew who the guy was until he got that gig.
I didn't.
I mean, we knew him.
I'm barely.
Yeah, we knew him because of Breitbart, like, the, you know, we knew him because, you know.
Who's the guy?
Exactly. He was not, you know,
yeah.
Yeah, so that, I don't know, that figure, I mean.
Who's the guy that doesn't like us because we didn't love Trump from day one?
Yeah.
That's right.
Right. The good thing, though, is that if that, the split there, who are we going to side with? And the good sign is, yet again, no one for us to pick in that particular battle.
Because, I mean, you talk about fake news. I mean, Drudge has sold out to that, too.
Well, and the thing that turned me off from Drudge was not Trump or Bannon.
It was InfoWars.
InfoWars. When he started posting links to the ridiculous nonsense at InfoWars,
you lose credibility.
You lose credibility there. So I guess there's a split coming now, and we're going to see this new site from Alex Jones to tell you about the fake news, which is interesting because just this week they were bragging about this story that BuzzFeed came up with. And in the story, you remember this, they said, they were bragging. They were saying, like, oh, BuzzFeed tried to catch us and say our supplements were junk. But in reality, right. What the story says is they were accurately advertised. And when you read the story, it says the ingredients were accurately advertised. However, there were such a small percentage of the things that were supposed to be active that they were not at all effective, that they constantly came up with health claims that were not supported by science in any way. They were not effective in any way. And even if they were effective, there wasn't enough of the ingredient they said was in there. They just put like a, you know, it's like a dash of zinc. There's a zinc supplement. Or, and they also said all
raised
of them
the prices,
were
like,
way overpriced by three, four, five, six times.
Yeah.
This is not an article that supported them. Now, and this shows such a great window into how these people operate. They tweet to their people that it vindicated them. Then they're running a BuzzFeed special on the supplements mentioned in the column.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so they're using it to try to get more money out of these, you know, stupid people buying their supplements. And it's like, well, you know, I don't know. Like, it's a shady way of doing business, admittedly. But it's more than that, an interesting mindset. If you say it to these people, they'll just believe it without checking your claims. And, you know, this is all they had to do is click the link and they would have seen that what they said about these products was nothing but ripping them. All they said was they didn't tell you that there was zinc in there and there was no zinc. They told you there was zinc in there and there was just a tiny, tiny bit that was not effective and it did not support the claims that they said it did and it's overpriced. Like, that's actually what it said. But the fact that they feel the... They are so the hubris there to actually brag about that story is what's really incredible, I think.
Did it have the substance you can only get from a comet or in small doses, trace amounts in blueberries?
In blueberries.
Did it have
because people don't realize that comets are made from blueberries.
Or blueberries are made from comets.
One
we don't
two.
Know
we
yet.
Don't.
We don't know which came first.
No, we don't.
All right.
Sadly.
888-727 back. More Pat and Stu is coming up. And it's Pat and Stu. Hey, the Washington Post wants you to know that anarchists, they're not bad people.
No.
They're not. They're just like you and me. They're really wonderful people. They just happen to believe and feel very strongly about certain things with which they're willing to bring violence and hurt people and break things. But as they'll remind you in the article, it's just property after all. it's not their property that's being destroyed.
That's important.
But it's just property, somebody else's, so who cares? But the Washington Post lets you know that by day, these wonderful anarchists are graphic designers, legal assistants, nonprofit workers, and students. Outside of their 9-to-5 jobs, they call themselves anarchists, bucking the system, shunning the government, and sometimes even rioting and smashing windows to make a point. Yes, and sometimes these mavericks also smash the heads and cameras of journalists covering their riots and sucker punch Trump supporters.
Of course.
But they're just really wonderful people inside.
Yeah.
They're trying to make a point.
I don't think I've seen those stories about the alt-right or
no,
the, or
nor
Nazis
will you.
Or, yeah.
Nor will you.
Yeah, there was an interesting story I read actually a long time ago, and I will say this one did come from the media, but it was a profile of a guy who grew up under one of the heads of like the white supremacist movement, and he had gone to college and been transformed out of it, in a good way, from being a hardcore, you know, white supremacist to, I don't know, a moderate politically. Like, he had gone to that point where he was, you know, very critical of his dad and the former work he had been in, and it was amazing because, and I think this is something that filmmakers do really well at times, where if you can kind of show the actual humanity of a person. Because these people are, right? Like, even every nut job that you see that does these horrible things, they actually had normal lives where they did these normal things. And it's so strange to see that happen. How do you get to that point? Seriously, you're in Ohio. You grow up. You're 20 years old. I guess the guy had a some sort of inheritance he got. So he had some money at one point. Bottom line is then he's just like, I'm going to drive my Dodge Challenger into a crowd of 100 people and hopefully kill as many as possible.
And it was at the protest, too. They showed him pictured with the crowd at the protest. And at some point, He must have just snapped and said, I'm going to run these people down.
Well, was it was he at the anti-protest or the protest?
No, he was at the protest.
Right, so he was on the side.
He was on the side of the neo-Nazis and the alt-right people and yelling and screaming about, you know, Trump and black people or whatever. I don't know what they were saying. But then he got into his car and drove into that crowd of people, that were the counter-protesters. So just really bizarre. And the sound of his mom kind of laughing about things and saying that she had no idea about what he was doing. She doesn't pay attention to that politics stuff. He does. She didn't even sound, I mean, her son just murdered someone. And she sounds like it's a normal Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Really weird.
Very strange.
Weird
very
family.
By the way, the Donald Trump just made a statement on this. It was, I would say...
Was it powerful?
I'm sure it was. It wasn't very long.
Do you have it? Yeah, it was very short.
No,
short,
I don't have
but powerful would be my guess.
I will say he responded.
Should we come back and do this?
Do we have it? I don't have it quite yet.
I could not see the transcript.
Just
anywhere,
to read it.
Just the video.
We can give you some clips from it. I know the main thrust of it is basically he addressed the criticism of his previous statement. Mm-hmm. He came out and called out white supremacists, the KKK, all of those things, and did it. And I don't know. Like, does that push aside the criticism? I think people will still say, "Well, he didn't do it fast enough, right?"
Yes,
he doesn't mean it.
This is unlike when he was on with Jake Tapper during the campaign, and they were like, "Hey, do you like David Duke?" Well, who? I don't know what. You know, like that was like much more.
I don't know him well enough to know if I like him or not.
Right. Like the point here. The point is, he didn't say the KKK. He didn't mention them by name, so they took pleasure out of that. Theoretically, if he's coming out now and saying that they're awful people, they should like that should
do
somewhat.
It.
Yeah, I mean he's not. And look, I don't think he actually likes the KKK. I think he has a bizarre affinity for strange activity when it comes to prioritization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just why he didn't see that of course you should say it. But I think a lot of that is applied by the media who thinks, well, he likes them and he needs to say that. In his mind, he doesn't like them, so he doesn't need to say it. You know, I'm not giving him, he should have handled it better, but, you know.
He didn't.
Again, he's never going to nail one of these for people to be happy with.
Yeah.
Never.
All right, more Pat and Stu is coming up. Just a second here.
Fact is, your current phone provider is using your money to undermine your beliefs.
Oh, I hate that.
Well, I know. That's why we're telling people.
I hate that. What do I do about it?
Well, there's.
I mean, just at the mercy of these people?
Well, no. I mean, you could not have a phone. That's one
but
way to
I need
it.
To have a phone. I got to be able to, call people.
Yeah, you got to tweet.
Tweet.
I know you're a big tweeter.
Facebook, Instant Snap, and all that.
Oh, yeah, you're huge on that stuff.
Well,
what
all
if I could,
stuff.
What if I could come up with a company?
I live for instant snapping.
I know you do. Well, what if I could come up with a company in a theoretical world? In which, let's say you'd get the high-speed 4G LTE data that you need.
Okay.
Let's say you get the incredible offer. Let's say you get the great prices.
What is this, a fairy tale of some sort?
Well, just walk with me down this road for a second.
Okay.
And instead, they give 5% of your money to the charity of your choice, which is a conservative charity.
Now I know this is too good to be true. There's nobody
doing
it.
It's actually not. It's called Patriot Mobile.
Oh, wow.
PatriotMobile.com/Pat.
Why does that sound familiar?
Because we talked about it almost every day for the past year.
Okay.
But take advantage of their back-to-school... Back to school special. This is actually a great offer, by the way. Listen to this, because if you've been thinking about Patriot Mobile and you're like, I don't know if I want to make the switch, right now is a really good time to do it because they have a back to school special. You'll get unlimited talk, text, and data along with a free Samsung or iPhone, all for a flat fee of $55 per month.
Yeah, and you use the promo code back to school, and they'll also waive your activation fee. Really cool.
Great deal.
Go to patriotmobile.com/Pat and Stu. PatriotMobile.com/Pat and Stu or call 1-800-A-PATRIOT. That's 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Here are some stories that Jeffy found.
We don't have to talk anymore.
All right, good news. We still have an opportunity to win the Powerball. No winner. This past weekend, so
good golly, really?
Wednesday's drawing $430 million.
Now,
someone won the other one, though, right?
Someone did win the Mega Millions, the $393 million. Somebody bought a ticket at Nick's Barbecue in Illinois.
Individual winner. Nice.
One ticket sold. It has the winning numbers.
Oh, I will say too, I don't like the idea
that
they tell you where it was sold. At least initially. Because you lose. Like, I want to give me some time to, like, obsess about my ticket and think I won before you say it's Nick's barbecue. Like, as soon as you say that, I'm like, oh, okay, I had no chance there. I don't even
know. But you still have an opportunity to win some money, just not the big money.
I think you give a good week before you tell the location.
But Nick's barbecue would disagree, right? Nick wants that money. He wants the money and he wants the promotion.
But they're going to say it eventually when the person comes out. I mean,
doesn't the place that sells it get some money too?
They sure do. They get a lot of money.
Like how much?
I don't know. There's a different. It's a percentage of the winnings that they get.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Wow. I mean, that's a lot of money then.
Wow. It's like they're bribing people with
To participate in your lottery, in your little organized gambling from the government. Thank you very much.
And if you won, you would be able to buy tickets to an event that I thought would be a tremendous event. It's coming here in Irving, Texas, as a matter of fact. The Pavilion at Irving Music Factory that's going up just down the road from Mercury Studios here. An evening with President Bill Clinton and the Honorable Hillary Clinton.
Yes, I am in!
How about that? How about that? November 17th.
Any price to be there. What do I have to pay?
That be fun?
Oh, my. Would it
I
be?
I mean, I think I'm in.
Oh, we're definitely
I think I'm in. That would be a fantastic evening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and there's also a story that ran last week that if there was ever a time for you to want a BMW, in Austin, Texas, a car drove off a parking garage floor 7.
Oh, yeah, geez.
And landed straight into the concrete.
Do we have that footage?
A BMW.
Here's the footage. Look at this. Okay,
the station wagon
pulls out, and by the way, they're still making station wagons.
No, that's an SUV, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is?
Yeah, it's an SUV.
It looks like a station wagon to me.
No.
Well, it is.
It's an SUV. It's like a Tahoe.
Station wagon.
Like, I have that car. It's like a Tahoe.
Yes, it is. That's a Tahoe.
Oh, you're right. Look at that. Seven stories.
Seven stories, it felt. The woman
gets out. She's fine.
She is fine. She's had some minor injuries, of
course.
They
took her to the hospital, but just as a precaution, because she wasn't seriously injured.
But
70 feet down.
BMW should be using this as an ad for the rest of their lives, man.
Yes. I would be.
How close did that Tahoe get to?
It landed on top of the Tahoe.
That would have been unbelievable.
Yeah. Another second before that, and they're killed.